This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk about what men really talk about in the locker room. Because by now you've heard it or seen it. The leaked 2005 hot mic footage of Donald Trump degrading women and talking about groping them without consent. The video, first reported by the Washington Post on Friday, put the Trump campaign into full damage control mode. The GOP nominee apologized for his remarks and called it locker room banter. And then last night, at the second presidential debate, when moderator Anderson Cooper asked Donald Trump if he stood by that defense, Trump doubled down.
You called what you said locker room banter. You described kissing women without consent, grabbing their genitals. That is sexual assault. You bragged that you have sexually assaulted women. Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it, but this is locker room talk.
Well, a lot of professional athletes responded on Twitter that, nope, not in their locker rooms. Kendall Marshall, a former Philadelphia Sixers basketball player, wrote, quote, PSA, sexual advances without consent is not locker room talk. Well, joining us now with more is Don McPherson. He's a former NFL quarterback. He's a College Football Hall of Famer and founder of the Sports Leadership Institute at Adelphi University. Don McPherson, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much, Clyde. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, give us your reaction when you heard that Donald Trump attributed his remarks to, you know, hey, it's what goes on in locker rooms.
Well, I think that is the dodge that many men will take when they are in that, what I refer to as the performance of masculinity. It's the tough guy talk. It's using sports as sort of that last place where boys will be boys, men will be men. That kind of very reductionist understanding of masculinity gets to be played out and celebrated. And I just think it's a dodge for what he described. Whether he says he meant it or not, what he described was sexual assault. And so, so many times people will fall back on, well, this is just what guys do as an excuse for that kind of talk.
Right. So, I mean, it's pretty clear that Trump was using it as a metaphor or a euphemism. But let me just ask you sort of straight on, in the locker rooms that you've been in as a professional athlete, has this kind of talk ever come up?
Well, first you have to understand it's been a couple of decades since I was an athlete in a locker room. But I will tell you that the environment in a locker room really is dictated by the leadership in that locker room and the focus of whatever particular team you're on and what you're trying to accomplish. The locker room talk is typically about the game. It's about how you prepare and it's your workplace, it's your office place. Now, are there individuals who will talk as Mr. Trump did on that bus? Absolutely, there are individuals, but then they get shut down by the leadership in the locker room. No different than what happened on that bus, no different than it happens in so many other places. I can tell you in the 20-plus years since I played football and was in a locker room, I've heard that kind of talk and worse from men just because there were no women present and they were doing what Mr. Trump was doing, which was sort of bragging about his entitlement to women's bodies.
Right. You know, so that gets me to something that I reacted to kind of strongly when I first heard Mr. Trump say that, and then again when he repeated it last night, that first of all, it felt to me to be, of course, not only offensive to women, but offensive to men as well.
Exactly right.
Well, so tell me more about that.
I think that's why so many professional athletes who are in locker rooms right now are speaking out about it, because they are decent men who are in their locker rooms doing their job, and Mr. Trump is pulling that environment in and playing to a narrative that, quite frankly, if this is what I wrote about in the CNN article, that if a football player said those things, you would have this uproar that fits the narrative of the violent athlete who's entitled on a college campus or because he's making millions of dollars in professional football. And so it's sort of using that, and he's hiding behind that, sort of that stereotypical narrative that athletes are these sort of violent, boorish kind of people. And I think that's why it is an insult to all men that this is what men do. However, it's an insult to the vast majority of men who are silent in the presence of men who talk like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also wrote in that CNN article that to a certain degree, by virtue of you having been an athlete, that when men talk to you or approach you, that they do treat you in a somewhat different way and maybe feel automatic entree, perhaps, to speaking a little more, bluntly than they otherwise might have?
When I talk about the performance of masculinity,
yeah,
it is a performance of a very narrow form of being a man. It's who's going to be the toughest. You know, even if you hear a man who's successful, he's going to tell you, "I'm successful, but I started out in rough times." Right? He had to overcome some things to prove his masculinity. Even if he had a charmed life, I will tell you, I've had a charmed life. I'm not going to tell you that I overcame anything to sort of prove my mettle as a man. However, yes, you're right. When I'm in the presence of men who know that I was a football player, the conversation gets reduced. I find it very insulting, and I have my entire life, which is why when I was a very young athlete, I used to not tell people that I was an athlete, because I would be treated as this guy who only cared about womenizing and only cared about playing the game and the game itself, and it's a very narrow conversation that I have. Because people think that. I had a guy on Twitter say, "What kind of man identifies himself as a feminist?" Well, a man who's very, very well informed and secure in who I am as a whole person, and that part of my wholeness as a man means that I do care about women and women's rights, and that doesn't make me less of a man. And so when people find out that I'm an athlete, it's almost like I become that proxy locker room, right? That place where men get to act like there's no women present and we're all about this very narrow form of masculinity. I've experienced that my entire life when men know that I was an athlete.
Mm. Well, Don McPherson, one of the reasons why I'm really grateful that you're joining us today is, you do have direct experience in true professional locker rooms. But then also, there's this idea that what Donald Trump said is, writ large, it's sort of a reflection of how in American society today there is a sense, perhaps not approved of, but an underlying sense of, boys will be boys. You can throw around a phrase like it's just locker room banter and not expect a lot of blowback, I guess. But then also there's the, as you were talking about, the sense of power and entitlement, but also encouragement, because in the CNN article that you wrote, you point out that Donald Trump isn't the worst thing in that 2005 video.
No, he's not. And Billy Bush was equally as complicit in egging him on and saying things like that Donald has scored even before he met the woman that they were looking at through, outside the bus. And, this sort of foregone conclusion that Donald has scored. You talk about not just the possession of or the entitlement to women's bodies, but also the ownership in that regard. And then there were the several men who filed off of that bus who make you realize that there were several men on that bus who were either uncomfortable and refused to remain silent, or they were complicit. And that's the more disturbing part of, I think, people, and as I said in the article, that we will make this a political conversation, but this really isn't a political conversation. It is about entitled masculinity by few men and the silence of the majority of men. And there's a number of reasons for that silence, but that to me is equally as disturbing as anything that Mr. Trump had to say.
Well, you've been working to stop sexual assault and sexual violence, and part of the work that you do now is, teaching men to speak up, as you were saying just a minute ago. So let me ask you, what impact do you think this election and the tenor and the tone of this election has had on, the work that you do and the work that others have done in trying to change, a culture where we can just sort of throw the locker room banter around as a justifiable excuse for degrading behavior?
Well, I think we're at a strange place in American culture, and I think it's not just this election and what this election has done, because it's become totally debased, but you also look at what social media does in terms of how we talk to one another and talk at each other, talk around each other, and I do think we're at a point. I think the debate last night was really a difficult thing to watch as an American hoping to hear from future leaders about what their plans were for this country. And I think that there's got to be a time where we sort of sit down and reflect on what this says about what kind of people we are, and how we do care about each other and how we talk to each other. I'm going to talk to a group of college students this evening, and one of the first things I say to them is that we need their leadership. We need their help in fostering a better example of how we love each other, how we care about each other, because we're in this together. And
yeah.
I think the divisive way in which even you can imagine when professional athletes are pushing back on something that a presidential candidate is saying, we've reached a very strange point in our social commentary,
mm-hmm.
Especially when so many people are upset with Colin Kaepernick for his stance in social justice.
Right.
And now we have a presidential candidate who's referring back to that very environment that Colin Kaepernick is coming from and saying that, well, this is just excusable.
Yeah.
So we're at a very strange place, I think, in our country about how we treat each other. And I do think also, as we came across coming out of the first African-American president and heading into potentially the first woman president, I think we're going to find the sexism in this country runs very, very deep.
Yeah. Well, Don McPherson is a former NFL quarterback and a College Football Hall of Famer. He's also founder of the Sports Leadership Institute at Adelphi University. Mr. McPherson, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.